Well, if your blood isn't stirred up now, it never will be. I appreciate the choir and the kids, the musicians, everyone that helped to remind us what a great country we live in. So let's pray and have just a moment of silent prayer where you ask the Lord to speak to your heart through the message, but also just give God praise and thanks for the opportunity we have living in this great country. Let's pray. Father, it's wonderful to have the freedom that we have. Freedom, first of all, in Christ. And then freedom in this country that you've raised up. And it grieves us, Lord, to see the way our country's going. And so, as believers, may we be the patriotic Christians that you would have us to be in fulfilling your word. And so, as we look to your word, give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us a will to do what you have designed us for, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our text this morning, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the problem of sin has been manifest to one degree or another since the sin of Adam. The psalmist saw what was taking place in his country. And so he asked the question, what can I do? We look about us today and we see the situation that our country is in today, and we ask the same question, what can the righteous do? Our present political situation, political correctness, can be summed up by the words precarious and confusing. We do live in confusing times. And our nation is experiencing a great social revolution. As believers, what should our response be? Our nation is in peril by the rising of crime in our country. What should be our response to this threat? Morality has hit an all-time low. What can we do as believers to correct this? Corruption has eaten away at every level of government. What blame do we have in this? Dr. Crabtree says, our nation is threatened by a secular materialism that would eliminate God and Christian principles from our consideration. What is a Christian to do in the face of all of this? End of quote. How are we to react as believers? Shall we retreat into isolation and solitude? Shall we surrender in bleak despair at what we see? Should we dissent to the extent of revolt? I trust it never comes to that. Are we only to sit back, criticize, and worry? Will we adopt the devil's philosophy? Oh, there's so much to do, and so little that I can do, it won't make any difference if I do anything or not. It's too late. We shrug our shoulders. All hope is gone. Politics and religion don't mix. And because believers have swallowed that, we find our country in the shape it's in today. Well, let's turn to Big Brother and let government take care of us. So we see the situation that we face in our country. And we realize that our text is not a statement of despair, but a question of challenge. What shall the righteous, or what can the righteous do? Well, in Psalm 11:1, the psalmist wrote, in the Lord put I my trust. And that's the first thing we do, folks. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. not only for our country, but foremost for our individual souls. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross that we might have freedom, freedom from sin. I don't know if you have placed your faith and trust in Christ, but it's a decision that everyone has to make. And if they have not received Christ by faith alone, in Christ alone, then they are lost. They are doomed to what the Bible teaches is hell, which is far greater than we can even imagine as far as the hurt and suffering is concerned. We don't want to see anyone have to go to that place, and that's why we preach the gospel. But if you're here without Christ today, the best thing that you can do to help your country is to place your faith and trust in Christ. Jesus said that when these things begin to happen, what we've talked about, He told us to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hebrews tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So no matter how dark the clouds may be, let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Well, He wasn't telling us to be thoughtless. He was telling us to be fretless, not to fret over everything that we see. We are not to be anxious or to worry. We know that doesn't do any good. We are to be concerned, and we are to put our concern into action. There are certain sure foundations that will never be destroyed. And one is the very person of God. In Malachi 3:6 we read, for I am the Lord, I change not. Now, God's ways of dealing with mankind have changed over the years into what we call the various dispensations. We live in the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the church as God deals with us according to His grace. God's faithfulness will never be destroyed. In Psalm 119 and verse 90, I will not suffer my faithfulness to fail. We read in 2 Timothy that even though we are unfaithful, and we are so many times, God remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Then God's sovereignty will never fail. We read in Daniel 4:17. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Folks, God is still in control. And we can praise His name for that. And then God's truth is under attack today. But the Bible tells us His truth is forever settled in heaven. And as the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible to write God's truth, that truth remains exactly what it was when they wrote it, when God pronounced truth. There are those seeking to destroy truth today. They tell us there is no such thing as absolute truth. Whatever you want to be truth can be truth. They do that so that they will not be accountable unto God and one day have to face God. But no matter what they think, they are indeed accountable to God and His truth. And then God's church will never be destroyed. The foundation of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as God, as we've said, His person will never be destroyed. And His truth will never be destroyed. And then God's sufficiency. How are we to respond to all of these things? In our own sufficiency? No, we'll fail there. We'll be disappointed with that. Our sufficiency, according to 2 Corinthians 3:5, our sufficiency is in God. He will strengthen us. Now, there are precious fountains, foundations that are being destroyed today. the foundations upon which our country was founded, the Judaic Christian moral code. The principle of freedom is being taken from us. Well, we are free in Christ. We know that. And bless His holy name, we have the privilege of living in freedom here in this country. The foundation of our homes are being destroyed by the lack of commitment of parents, by the lack of the teaching of young people, the disinterest and rebellion of youth today. Our homes. We need to pray for our homes. Basic institution of society is our homes. Well, there's the foundation of our Christian heritage and our tradition. Seems like every ethnic group and every race has their heritage and traditions that they glory in. But let us bring out our heritage. Let us talk about our traditions, and we're called racist or something similar. The foundation of righteousness is being destroyed. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I can remember when it came to me that the foundation of righteousness is being destroyed. And that goes back to human wisdom that come up with what they called situation ethics. Now, many of you probably remember situation ethics. Situation ethics taught that there is no absolute right or wrong. It all depends upon your circumstances that you're in. It depends upon what is taking place in your life. There are times when it's right to lie if the situation so calls for it. Yes, they say there is no right or wrong, and the foundation of right and wrong is being destroyed. Biblical absolutes are being discounted today as being old-fashioned and not relative to our society. Much of what used to be considered wrong is now colored gray by indecision. It's only wrong if you get caught. Don't we see that today in politics and unfortunately in religion as well? The foundation of respect for God and His Word is under attack today. Romans 3:18 says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. As long as there is respect for God, He remains long-suffering. But today there is blatant disregard and disrespect for God. That holy name of God is used as nothing but an expletive to describe their surprise or their anger or whatever it may be. Even little children we hear saying, oh God, this and oh God, that. Don't they, parents, realize by setting that example that it is blasphemy against the holy name of God? And so we see the disrespect for God and His Word. And it was true in the ancient world. As a knowledge and reverence for God disappeared, immorality, moral corruption, and crime completely destroyed the social order. So we are not unaware of Satan's objective to destroy the foundations that God has set forth. Matthew 22:21, we're told to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God's. Our priority is to render unto God the things that belong to Him. We do that every Sunday as we worship collectively here at Mesa Hills Bible Church. But as we pay tribute to our country today, let's look at how we can render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And the first thing we have to do is make sure, be certain, that we are being filled with the Spirit of God, the means of which is a continuing confession of our sin. The Holy Spirit can't fill us when there's sin in our life, so we have to confess our sin so that He can fill us. But not only, folks, do we need to confess our sin, but we need to forsake that sin as well. You've heard the illustration of the fellow in prayer meeting who used to pray all the time, "Oh Lord, remove the cobwebs from my mind." Every prayer meeting, "Oh Lord, remove the cobwebs of our mind." A young believer came to prayer meeting and heard him pray that prayer. And he stood up and said, "Lord, help him to kill the spider." Yes, we need the spider of sin's already been killed, folks. The Lord took care of that on the cross. But we need to reckon that to be true so that we can live in the power and might of the Holy Spirit. Because if you try to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar in your flesh, you're going to fail and you're going to be disappointed. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us through His Holy Spirit. Well, spiritually, what can we do to render unto Caesar? We can be the salt of the earth, that pungent particle of salt. We can pray. We can pray for our country. We can pray that the Lord will raise up righteous individuals to lead us in our country. We can be witnesses because salt not only has that preserving aspect, but it also flavors. And may the Holy Spirit flavor our witness and make people thirsty to be a Christian through the witness of our testimony for the Lord. Then we can live righteous lives. We need to persevere a righteous lifestyle so that people can see that we've been with Jesus. You say, "Well, it's awful hard to walk today in our culture as a born-again believer." It's been that way through the years. Enoch walked with God in an apostate civilization. Noah walked with God in a vile civilization. Abraham walked with God in a pagan civilization. And we can walk with God in this culture in which we find ourselves. Once again, through the inspiration and the application of the Holy Spirit in our heart and life, enabling us to walk so that people indeed can see that we love our country, but that we are Christians. Practically, how can we render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's? But before that, one other thing I want to mention concerning the spiritual things we can do. Yes, we are that pungent particle of salt, but we're also that brilliant beam of light. And in Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You're the best Christian someone knows. You're the only Bible that someone's going to read. And what they consider a Christian to be depends upon each one of us as we live the life before mankind. We can get involved in the political process. We need to study the candidates and the issues that are before us and intelligently vote. I just wonder about a believer who doesn't take the time to vote. That's a privilege. That's a freedom that we have. And shame on any believer who will not go to the polls, vote, or now it's mailed to you, it's convenient. Let your vote be made known. Then you can work at the grassroots level of someone that you feel would make a good governor, good mayor, good president, good senator, whatever. Work for them. And then, if you have the ability and the desire, you can run for office because we need righteous individuals to lead this great country of ours. And we can be involved in social causes. Many of you were in the Walk of Life. The abortion situation is such a blight upon this nation. Abraham was told not to destroy the Amalekites because their cup of iniquity was not yet full. God's long suffering toward any country. But when their cup of iniquity is full, God judges that country. And folks, America's cup of iniquity is fast filling up. So we need to be strong Americans, strong Christians in this day and age in which we live. We can work at the rescue mission. As a matter of fact, in your bulletin, you'll see that there's an opportunity for a couple to work down at the rescue mission once a month. Is that asking too much for anyone? If you have the time, I trust the Lord will give you the desire to fulfill that need that we have as a church, and certainly the homeless people that the rescue mission ministers to. Well, our system of government may be broken, but praise God, it's not destroyed. Not yet. We have to guard against despair and do-nothingism. With all of its faults, folks, this country is still the greatest country in the world. And I know you do, and I do. We love America. I'm glad that I am an American. And that leads us to the last aspect of our tribute to our country today. Many of you know that my son Kip has been in the Navy for 28 years. He was on the Abraham Lincoln, that aircraft carrier, remember, Bush landed on. Bush shook every hand of every sailor on that ship. There was a group of kids in, I think it was Wisconsin somewhere, where sent Christmas gifts and treats to Kip's unit. He is in what they call the EOD, Explosive Ordnance Demolition, the bomb squad. There were several of them aboard the Abraham Lincoln. And so in their appreciation to thank the kids, they took them on a video tour of the Abraham Lincoln. It was quite good. But they ended in a wonderful way, that video. And so you're going to see my son at the beginning, and then you're going to hear the song, "I'm Glad That I'm American." So, Todd, let's listen to it here.
This is the end of our video, what we want to do. I know EOD isn't it kind of like
that's Kip
picking up this whole video. So what we want to do is to dedicate the last 2 or 3 minutes here of this video to just a regular guy on the ship. Unfortunately, we're just going to stick to the flight deck. We'd like to take you all the way down to the last deck level and show you what all the jobs are, but it's going to take like 2 days. So what we're going to do is just these last 2 or 3 minutes is show you how the flight deck works for the average guy. Last off, we'd just like to say thank you for being in your thoughts, being in your prayers. We'd like to say God bless you. God bless George Bush, our president. God bless the USA. Thanks a lot, guys.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God. from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
our way of saying amen too, I guess. I thought you'd like to see that. To me, it spoke to my heart that I'm glad to be an American, to be a patriotic American. And so I trust